Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
William Carey University Athletics.
Every sport you find exciting.
Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
This is Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
We're covering everything William Carey University Athletics. From the field to the court and the diamond. On Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Welcome in, everyone, to another edition of Crusader Talk. Glad to have you with us here on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3. Streaming online at supertalkhattiesburg.com or on demand wherever you get podcasts. I'm Caleb Hamill, joined by Josh West. Dalton Stanford's behind the board, and we're happy to be talking about William Carey Athletics here on this Monday evening. A lot to get to, as always, as we're right in the thick of postseason when it comes to volleyball and soccer. Man, so proud of those two soccer teams and one volleyball team for still being in the postseason as we discuss them tonight. A lot to discuss around what else is going on in the postseason not involving William Carey, the other sides of brackets, potential future matchups to get to as well. A whole lot going on. But Josh, to start us off, we're going to go with the sport that's in its regular season right now. We gave soccer and volleyball a lot of love last week. We're still going to give them their due time. We have to get back to business as far as things that are happening here in the Hub City, and that's basketball. Basketball's here.
Oh, yeah. Basketball is definitely here. And you know, Caleb, I've kind of been geeked out about women's basketball here at Carey for months and months.
With good reason.
And I've been talking about it, and I've been looking forward to it. And when you approached me about doing some more basketball this year, I kind of had that little sparkle in my eye going, yeah, I think this would be a lot of fun. And this guy right here, Coach English, no, he's excited about some basketball.
Yeah, with good reason. I mean, team off to an undefeated start. Just got back from West Palm Beach, Florida. Coach, first of all, how was your trip outside of the basketball? How was
it? It was a strange and short trip. It seemed like we were there. We flew out on Sunday night. I think I got in about 2 o'clock in the morning and didn't go to sleep till about 4.
Whew.
Woke up after lunch. Got my kids ready for practice, and you know, then played the next day and played the next day and came home. So. It was a good trip, but it got a couple of wins out of it. Just didn't get to see much of the town because of the nature of the trip, I guess.
I was gonna say, so Kaiser was the host of the whole thing?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, I was trying to remember which of our NAIA teams is over there. I know there's several Sun Conference teams that are over there. You've got, you know, Weber International and a couple others. I can't even remember if Kaiser's in the Sun, but yeah, they have a lot down there.
It was Kaiser's little Thanksgiving get together, and it was ended up being like a crossover between our conference and theirs because Warner was in it, and for us Thomas was in it. So
gotcha. Yeah, y'all had the longest travel, which you said you flew in, y'all didn't drive,
right?
Which, you know, just thinking about different ways NAIA teams have to travel, soccer, men's soccer, that is, choosing not to fly out to Wichita, Kansas. They decided to do the long haul drive. If you were in Coach Barry's shoes, would you have made that choice?
Not.
Put me on that plane.
I want to know, though, what's the threshold with today's air travel being what it is, where you've got to leave, get to the airport, sit there for 2 hours, wait for your luggage, get all the different time that goes in that's added to the flight and to all the different things that go into it. How many hours does it have to be before you even consider flying these days?
Well, it's not a time issue for us at a smaller college. It's a financial situation. Sometimes, like for us, it was cheaper for us to fly to West Palm Beach than it was to drive.
It's amazing to me.
Yeah. No, it is. I mean,
yeah,
buses have gotten mighty expensive. So
get that CDL out there if you're listening.
Well, is that going to be something that Carey could potentially invest in the future?
What's that?
In buses? Investment even worth it at some point?
It would be great to have one or two, I guess. But
sure.
But with the programs that we have and so many different seasons going on, you'd still have the same issue.
Yeah, you'd be fighting over the bus at that point, or you know, trying to find the same driver that's already in Florida at that point, doing another sport. Yeah. All right. So that's a lot about the outskirts of, you know, things surrounding our sport. But as far as action is concerned, we're already 10 games into the year now for women's basketball. and a really awesome start. And you've had some close games. You know, you and I have talked about the triple overtime victory over Blue Mountain before, but a pretty dominating week over there in West Palm Beach, 87-67 the finish over Warner, 79-69 the final over Kaiser. And we always talk about how this team is very similar to last year in that Lauren Rowley was the only player that graduated for the team. So most of the pieces are back, and then you add a couple new ones. But still, this team has a little bit of a, I'm not going to call it an identity crisis, but have a new identity compared to last year.
It does. It does. We were kind of structured different a little bit. You know, we run sets to get particular shots for that group of kids back last year. This year, I think we were a little bit deeper talent-wise, and we tend to get in, spread the offense a little bit more and get into situations to where we can take advantage of some of our talent. Where we last year we had to create shots for people. This year we're creating some of our own. So, you know.
Well, I just think of just in the last couple of weeks, the reemergence of Maddie and what Maddie Ladner has done, and then the emergence, and you know it was only a matter of time, for Addie Shear. But when she hit that bucket in triple overtime, well, I immediately, you came by the scores table and I said, you know, Addie on the post game, and just from that conversation, you could tell the sparkle was back in her eye. The confidence was instantly back. It's like a great shooter that needs to go to the line and hit a couple of free throws. When she felt it again, you weren't going to stop her. She has been a different kid. Maddie's different now. When other players like Gabby Gallup and others start working their way into finding their rhythm, I mean, look out for the depth that is on this team.
Absolutely. Maddie and Addie both have stepped up, I guess you'd say. Addie, in that game you're talking about, Addie had 15 against Kaiser on Wednesday afternoon.
Three threes.
Yeah, and made the difference in the game, really, because of the time that she made, the moment in the game that she made the shots. She was sick the whole week. I put her in a game on Tuesday, and she, I mean, played probably 2 minutes, had to get her out. She was so sick, and the same thing the next day, but she battled through it. You know,
wow.
One of the big deals for us down there, I thought, was Rose Warren had a great weekend. I mean, she had a triple double.
I told you it was coming.
Finally happened
on Tuesday, and then she, you know, she was dominant in both of those games with the ball in her hand. So I mean, she's distributing the ball more than she, you know, we started a little bit more of a tempo offense when we were playing down there, moved the ball up the floor, trying to find some people, and she was very good in it. So, and of course, Colton has been just outstanding in 10 games. I mean,
well, and that's the pace that early in Rose's career at the collegiate level, she was used to playing that pace. And so is that kind of something that kind of came naturally?
Yeah. Well, I mean, she and I talked about it. You know,
sure.
We just need to move the ball up and down the floor, and she wanted to know if she could – she could push it down some more. And I said, absolutely, man. Let's see if we can't outrun these people. And we kind of got into a rhythm, maybe three or four games like that now, and it's working out for us.
Well, and you don't want to necessarily run with some of the teams in the HBCA, you know, the HBCUAC. That's a lot of letters.
Yeah.
But when you're getting in against the teams like Campbellsville and some of the teams that you can meet in the national tournament that are very structured, that'll just beat you to death in the half court, that could pay huge dividends.
Absolutely. I mean, it's made a difference for us. It's just something that we've added in the last, you know, week or two that's we've seen some success with.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about this. I mean, as it relates to how the results come out there on the court, how has it been for you personally now that you're full-time athletics director, also doubling as the women's basketball coach this year? No longer the interim tag on top of it. You are fully immersed in all of it, postseasons on other sports and all.
It's been a lot of work, but it's been gratifying. You know, I mean, you know, it's comes part of the day. You know, you just get used to it, the grind and everything. And then the success that we were having in the fall, you know, the time is just blowing by. We can't wait for tomorrow to get here and see what happens in those two soccer contests. But just, I mean, at the beginning it was a little bit overwhelming, but it just, as I got my feet wet, it became a great, it became fun, and just I'm having a great time doing it.
You got a lot of great pieces around you helping make that ship sail. You know, from Jessica on the basketball front to Lauren in the office, and now Ben helping out
as well. Absolutely, it was a great team. Absolutely, it's a great team, and it takes all of us.
So as William Carey continues on this season, I want to kind of look at this from a conference level, and we may wind this over to a second segment. But just kind of looking around the league, William Carey was kind of one vote, I want to say it was, or really close.
1 point.
Yeah, 1 point behind Loyola as far as the favorite to win the SSAC this year. Loyola, overall record, a little bit questionable when you just look at it without looking at their opponents. What, 5-4, a loss to UT Southern, but a win over Mobile on the road at that. We may be talking about a mix-up in the SSAC as far as what the top teams look like, as a lot has changed. Blue Mountain's doing good. UT Southern is a good team this year. Loyola probably still going to make a big surge late in the season. Carey's going to face them at the front of January. But I want to get your thoughts on the conference as a whole as we continue on in this season next. We're talking with Coach Tracy English, athletics director and women's basketball coach at the university. That and more coming up as Crusader Talk continues.
Talking everything William Carey University Athletics. This is Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Continuing on here on Crusader Talk, as we have Coach Tracy English in studio with myself, Caleb Hamill, and Josh West. Talking everything women's basketball here to start off the show as William Carey's off to a hot start, 10-0. They are the tops in the conference right now. With a 4-0 SSAC record. A lot of teams haven't played nearly the number of games that Carey's played right now. They're not nearly as front heavy.
Schedule's kind of different. I don't,
and it was supposed to be even wackier when I was talking to Steve last year.
Yeah, it's kind of strange. We don't have a whole lot of leeway with it, how it's put out and everything, but There's people that hadn't played one game maybe or two games.
Yeah, Britton Parker's only played one game.
Right. So anyway, it's kind of crazy, but it happens pretty fast.
I mean, it's always strange to me how quickly we get into conference play. It's like you have 1 week under your belt and then boom, you're playing. Not Stillman anymore, but whoever it may be, Blue Mountain Christian or
we played Blue. We went to Blue Mountain, went to UT Southern, then went to Thomasville, Georgia, and then went to Mobile, so
bam, bam, bam.
I know I came back with a cold. I mean, you wear down, your body
absolutely
wears down. But then when you look at this, you look at the standings, and you're sitting at 4-0. But then there's an asterisk. It's 4-0 on the road,
right?
So that feels like 5 or 6 when you get those four wins.
It does. People are going to have a hard time at Blue Mountain. People are going to have a hard time at Tennessee Southern, and of course Mobile. So.
And you don't want to catch Thomas on a Thursday night.
That's right.
The men, unfortunately, I was talking to Coach Knight about that. Thomas, with their football team and their baseball team and all their athletes in that gym and that student section, we went and it was so quiet on a Saturday. You go on a Thursday night, completely different atmosphere.
We did two Saturdays in a row. We did one last year too, over there, and it's completely different. Yeah.
So, in looking around the league, what surprises you right now about the early results that we have so far?
Well,
maybe surprise isn't the right word, but what stands out to you?
Well, the fact that Tennessee Southern's probably better than I thought they were going to be at this time. They got a new coach, got some new kids that came in with him, and I think they're going to be pretty good. I didn't know that was going to be the case. Maybe Loyola's what they've done to this point is kind of surprising, but I think Loyola's just opposite of us. I think Loyola's really good, and I think they've got a new core to their group, and I think it's going to take them some time to get it all put together. But they're very talented, very talented. They just got to maybe play a little bit more together and get into some sort of a rhythm. But I think they're going to be pretty good.
It kind of reminded me of what Kerry was at times last year. You know, there were some times where, especially when Lauren went down with her injury earlier on, just trying to find an identity and trying to figure out how the pieces that are new to the team all fit together with what existed. And about the transition into Christmas break and start back in the January part of the season, things started clicking. And right now that's what lines up with when you start to play Loyola.
Right. That's, you know, last year we got off to a decent start. We just didn't play well, but we're winning some games and then had a streak. I think we lost 3 out of 4 at, you know, we got beat by Faulkner, Loyola, Mobile. I think we beat Spring Hill in that thing. But then we figured it out a little bit after that. I think we figured it out a little bit in the Loyola game that we lost, and just kind of hit our stride and figured some stuff out and just became got to where we were better and better every time we went out.
You were mentioning Loyola. Loyola with an overtime loss to UT Southern. Won today, beat Dillard today, 79-71. You go back to the start of the season, they lose by 1 at LSU Shreveport. So you start moving those couple of more. This might be a 7-3 team, a 6-3 team. Yeah, much better than their record. And Coach, we were talking off the air during the commercial break about Mobile. Mobile, already at this point of the season, yes, they're 6-3, but to have lost a couple of starters – you know, this early for the season, that's a huge loss.
Yeah.
It completely reshapes Mobile. Yeah. How good can they still be trying to fill huge holes?
So I just think that they're hurting on the inside, but the three outside kids are three kids from last year that are they're very, very good, and they're just trying to find their way a little bit with their post play and how they really need to be doing things. But they struggle at times, but I think 6-3, 7-3, something?
6-3.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's not bad. I mean, just, you know, they just lost 2 conference games at home. Loyola goes over there, and we went over there.
You know, it just speaks to the mind of basketball people. Yeah, you know, when you say they're hurting on the inside, I was completely thinking emotionally. And you said that not about post presence.
Yeah.
It's like, man, when they lost those players, that man, they were just hurting on the inside. No, but literally. Within the paint.
Within the paint.
About. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. My bad.
Well, and in the paint, I don't get the sense right now because, okay, we mentioned, you know, figuring it out, so to speak. Colton, midseason form. You've got Chenil Corpuz, same. But it's Dede Cuevas, her ability to hit a mid-range jumper. Engel, and her ability to draw out a big and hit the three. If you don't guard her, she's going to hit that three.
Yeah, and her length is on the defensive end is a huge difference.
She's learning the game on the defensive side, right. You know, more so. But she's still, I mean, these are young players with huge upside. And it's just the depth of bodies. At a minimum, that's 5 fouls on the inside where you can put them in at certain times and get people a breather. You mentioned Addie Scher. I keep going back there. That gives Rose Warren no pressure minutes when she doesn't have to play through legitimate fatigue.
Right,
she can come off and Scher can come on and she can – truly rest. She can mentally and physically rest, not panic like I'm letting my team down that I'm not out there. She's got somebody that is just taking it and running with it.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. It's there's a lot of depth there, inside and outside, in the paint and out on the perimeter. I think probably one of the keys to our success so far has been Maddie. I mean, Maddie coming off the bench now. There's got to be nobody in our league that's got somebody like that that comes off the bench. I mean, she's a starter. She's a starter for us. She's a starter for anybody in our league. And she's been very good the last 10 days.
What's it been like having Jenna Garriga play as a starter compared to, you know, she was always a really good player to come off the bench and maybe hit a three or two for you. Now she's still making some of those threes when she's out there. But what is her role for your team like to start off the year?
Well, I mean, she stepped up late in the year last year, and I mean, she was huge in that Campbellsville game last year. She did a great job in that, and it's just been, you know, getting healthy is what's helped her. I mean, that's what's been holding her back, especially last year a little bit, dragging that leg around with her a little bit. She's getting better and better. She's a great shooter. A lot of people don't know that about her. She's not shooting at a high percentage right now, but. It's just like we talked about earlier. It's a matter of making one or two, and then she can make 10. You know, you never know about her. So she's a heady kid. She's an aggressive kid. She plays on both ends of the floor. She's, she's just been great for us.
Leah Sutton, such a different level of confidence from last year to this year. So I want to hear your thought on Leah, and then a backup to that would be, you know, is it Leah? Is it Jenna? Who's the player we're really going to be talking about a month from now, do you think?
Well, I think we're already talking about Leah. I mean, you know, going to be her. She just gets better every time she goes out. She is playing with a lot of confidence, and I don't know what her limit is. She's a really good player. She doesn't force anything. It doesn't have to go through her. She's just one of those kids that she's going to shoot a high percentage because she's not going to take a bad shot. And when she's wide open, she's going to hit a good percentage of those. The pull ups, and I think she's probably leading us percentage wise on the 3-point line.
All right, tough question.
Okay,
because we've seen a lot of clutch shots hit this year already. Who wants the ball in their hands might be a better question. Who wants that ball? Because Sutton, I can already think of two or three occasions where we had to have a three, we had to have a bucket. Leah hit it. Who's that player? Because it seems like you got about a handful of them.
Well, that's right.
About to give away the scouting report here.
Yeah, we're not going to give away, but I will say this. It is who doesn't want it?
Yeah.
Because I think what's working for us that night, you know, what we can dial up and get a good look at. That's one thing we're pretty good at. I know we do a good job of creating our own shots at times, but this group's pretty good at structuring up and running something and getting and looking for a particular shot. And a lot of that has to do with Rose. You know, Rose is very good at putting the ball in the basket on the floor and getting to the hole, but she's become a better point guard this year than she has been, and she's looking for her teammates more. She sets people up an awful lot. So,
facilitator.
Hey. That's really a good thing to hear. Yeah, I haven't gotten to see it much this year. I haven't been out to Clinton Gym much, but to hear that Rose is developing into that sharing the wealth type of point guard is a huge step. Considering, I mean, coming from a D1, how big she was to think when the ball's in my hands, I've got to score.
Yeah.
That, you know, I came from NCAA to hear I must be the person that can make the shots, and all of a sudden she notices and she's felt it out and practiced with these players to know they can make the shots, they can get set up, and they can get free.
For me as a coach, just the ball in her hand, I'm real comfortable with it right now.
I can't ask for much more than that.
That's right.
Not at all.
Well, Coach, excited to see y'all get ready for this meeting with Faulkner, another conference game coming up this Thursday, and then you'll have another one this weekend. Was it Spring Hill coming to town?
It is.
Yeah, Spring Hill on Saturday. So that coming up with more basketball action here in 2024 going into the 25 part of the season. Coach, best of luck, and we'll see you around the bend.
Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, that is Coach Tracy English joining us here on Crusader Talk. We'll talk to Rhonda Shirley from Sioux City, Iowa next.
From the coaches to the student athletes and the fans that cheer them on, you're listening to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Appreciate Coach Tracy English joining us earlier on the program. If you're listening live and missed that interview, you can catch us on demand. Just search for Crusader Talk wherever you get your podcast, whether it's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, all of those different things. If you have an app different from those, I'm impressed you scrolled that far down in the app store to find it.
But, yes.
I'm glad you did it and chose to listen to Crusader Talk. Dalton, is that the one you use, by the way?
Which one?
Or which one of those do you use?
Well, iPhone guy, so I mainly just use the Apple Podcast app.
Say it's an easy one. You know, pretty good integrations.
Yeah. Got the Eagle Hour on there, too.
That's true. Whole host of Super Talk podcasts available.
That's right.
All right. So, as we continue on, we are pleased to have on the air Coach Rhonda Shirley from volleyball, all the way from Sioux City, Iowa. Coach, I'm just happy you're finally off the plains. It felt like you were doing nothing but flying over the last few weeks.
Yes, we've been on the road a lot, but I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. It's been tiring, but a great experience. So, yes, finally here in the cold. Again,
wouldn't have it any other way. That's what you want to be doing. You want to be traveling this time of year, and not just for recruiting
for sure.
sake. You want to be playing, and that's exactly where Kerry is right now. All right, so before we jump into what the schedule is like for all y'all out there in Sioux City, I've got to hear about this road trip playing Jamestown, North Dakota, because obviously this was a, by all means, huge upset in NAIA volleyball to take down the number three ranked Jamestown, North Dakota team, and you find yourself now at the national championship site. First time ever Cary's gotten a win in the postseason for volleyball, and they are playing with house money now down the stretch. So I've just got to hear basically start to finish this match after you go down two sets and you come back and win it.
I mean, we really, for the scouting report, just we're really trying to feed heavy on, okay, our serve and pass game. I know I talk about it every time, but also to, their middle offense isn't as fast as ours. They have very good middles, but it's more like a 1.5, almost 2 tempo, where ours is more of like a straight on 1 tempo, way faster. And we've kind of gotten away from our middles, which is strange for my type of offense, because anybody that's played against me is like middles, middles, middles. But we have good pin players this year, so I just think we trust them. And let's be honest, our passing isn't always where it needs to be, so we have to throw it to the pins. But I told him, I said, if we can do what we're supposed to do from a middle offensive standpoint, it's going to help us help the pins be even more productive. And, I mean, we just practiced it. We kept talking about it. And I just kept telling them, you know, like, there's no pressure on y'all. Just go in and play. The pressure's on them. You know, I've preached this how many times this year. I think they really buy into that more than anything. And they did it. I mean, you know, we just kept plugging away. And when we won that third one, I could see them kind of shifting a little bit of, okay, you know, we just have to play our game. And the momentum just kind of started going with us. And then I think that they could see the other team starting to play not to lose. And I think that just kind of added fuel to their fire, because they kind of looked at me when their coach stood up and argued a play. And they kind of looked at me because I said, like, he's going to be cool, calm, and collected. But the minute that coach gets a little bit, has to either call a timeout or gets a little bit unnerved, that's when you guys have to know you've got them, because the coach is showing that they do. And then you just got to keep playing steady. Plus, we really talked a lot about not letting people go on a run. Like, it's okay to trade points back and forth. Like, sometimes I think that they think, oh, we have to score 5 points in a row. Yes, that's great, but we just can't let the other team score 5 points in a row. And if we can trade points, and I told them, once you're up by three, just, even if we just trade points back and forth, we're winning.
Yeah, once you get to that point with side outs, I mean, you're still increasing at the same rate as everybody else.
Exactly, and they really bought into it, and they just played relaxed, and I just, it is one of those moments I had to go back and watch the end, because, you know, this sounds weird, but you forget because you're so involved in the coaching aspect and the X's and O's that you don't really see the whole moment unfold. And I mean, how awesome is it that we win on a point where I just kept saying to my setters, if you're going to miss with our middle setting, set high, because if they miss hit more times than not, it scores a point. And that's exactly how we finished the match. When she set that ball to Barbie and it was a little bit too high and Barbie's trying to swing on it and all it was like half of a whiff and she got a hold of it and a tip over, because she didn't mean to do that. She was meaning to hit it hard, but it scored.
They all count the same.
They all count the same. And so, I mean, I think they were just like, oh my gosh. But, I mean, I really had a good feel about it. And I had a good feel about it just because, like, I mean, I love to win, and I hate to lose, but even if we didn't pull it off, it was a great experience for this young crew that I feel like is going to continue to be in the same position, and we just need to know what it feels like and what it looks like. And so now they're just kind of like, you've said it all along, Coach, like, we can do anything if we, like, really set our minds to it, and I'm like, yes, you can. So I think that showed that it was an amazing match. I mean, yeah.
I wish I had video for you from the soccer field whenever y'all were playing that match, because we were right in the thick of having NAIA tournament soccer being played as we had the second round being hosted there. And as I'm walking up, getting ready for the first match of the day between Cary and Xavier on women's soccer, Lauren Broom had the stream pulled up over to the side on a laptop, and she was, you know, giving us the update of, yeah, they're down 2-0, but that second set, you know, it was only 25-23, and they're up right now in the third set. And so we're like, okay, well, keep us posted, keep us posted. And then we found the live stats link, and we were like, oh, okay, they won a set. It's 1-2. Oh, my gosh, they forced a fifth set. Here we go. And you could look down the table at the people jumping around, and then Ben Smith running over to me and, you know, getting ready to tell me. And by that time, I looked down at the stat monitor, and there it was, 15-8 in the third set, where Cary wins it 3-2. And we were just so over the moon. And bless the hearts of anybody from Xavier listening to our broadcast for soccer. They got a heavy dose of William Cary volleyball updates, completely unrelated to what they were there to watch. But it was special for everybody that was watching from afar, and know that this is a team that a lot of people around here in Hattiesburg have their eyes on.
Yeah, and that just makes me smile so big, and because I just feel like sometimes, you know, people just don't see the work that your players put in and the sacrifice, and every team does it. But, you know, this year it was really almost a brand new team for me, and still really trying to instill the culture and, you know, what is William Cary volleyball under my leadership, you know, going to look like. And just to see them, like, it's a special team. Like, there's not too many teams that I've had that have bonded together so well and just really truly love and care about each other. And I do think that's at times why they play so well together, because not every time do we match up to be person for person better than, you know, the people on the other side of the court. Sometimes skill set wise we do, but experience wise not very often, because we are so young. But still, the leadership we have from the older kids, it just instills confidence in the younger kids. And I don't care what people say, like, leadership, your upperclassmen leadership is a huge part of your success. And my older crew has really bought into that, the transfer kids and the kids returning. And they do. They make those younger kids, like Swellen, like Sophia, Marcella, Kayla as a libero. I mean, we are so young, but they play very confident, and I give a lot of that credit to the upperclassmen that show that leadership that coach believes in us, and we believe in what coaches is doing, and which means we believe in you, so just believe in us. I mean, it's a special thing to watch, and not very many teams have I been able to have them really grasp on, you know, as well as this team. I can think of maybe three or four other teams in my 26, 27 years of coaching.
She's Rhonda Shirley. She's the head volleyball coach at William Cary. We're talking about William Cary and beating the third-ranked team in the country in the University of Jamestown. Coach, I was in Mobile. I'm texting the guys back in Hattiesburg. I'm following it as I'm calling basketball. So this was going out in a lot of different areas, right? This is going out over soccer stream. This is going over the basketball broadcast. Everybody is following this. And I think I actually tried to give you a call, a congratulatory call, while you were on an airplane. But,
yes,
you know,
we've
had some conversations where, you know, this was on the agenda. Didn't know that maybe it was at this point of the timeline. But all I can think about when I hear you talk is that how invaluable this is at this point in the program, because what it has done is it is putting this program on an accelerated pace to the things that you wanted to be inevitably a part of this program, winning championships and winning at a national level and competing for championships year in, year out at a national level. Because of this experience, that timeline is now accelerated.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. Sometimes it can be scary, and sometimes not pressure on me, but I think it puts pressure on, you know, sometimes the players, but I just try to take that off of them. But yes, it is. I mean, I had a vision, you know. I don't ever take a job where I don't feel like there is a possibility to be on the national scene. You know, and a lot of that comes from, like, where are you? What is the support system? And that was a big reason why I took the job at Cary, because the support system wasn't just, you know, oh, the coaches around you or just the AD. I mean, it is when it comes from the top of the president of the support for an athletic department and feeds out into the community, I mean, that's the making of being successful. And so that I know that's also a big part of it, because my players feel that, you know, as well. But yes, I mean, I don't ever have an agenda to go into a program and just exist. I'm there to work my hardest to make, if the name is great, I want to make it greater. And push it another level, because it has been good, you know, but I'm competitive and I want to break some records, and I want to do some things that the school's never done with this program. And this year,
certainly have an opportunity to, Coach, as you're about to play a couple games of the national tournament up there in Sioux City, Iowa. Best of luck, and we'll see you around.
You're listening to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
We'd like to call audibles here on Crusader Talk, and I think we had way too little time with Coach Rhonda Shirley.
Way too little time.
All right, so as we wrap up here on our fourth and final segment, Coach, I got to talk here about pool play here in the national championship site in Sioux City, Iowa. You've got Northwestern College, a team that is quite literally just down the road, about an hour away or so. And then Montana Western and William Cary Honorary Western. So the way this works, the way I understand it is, yeah, each of these three teams play one another. Whichever team has the most wins will come out on top, and then they will enter the final, what is it, eight teams?
Yeah, that's correct. Yep.
So you've got eight groups of three doing pool play, and then they'll come out and play a true bracket the rest of the way. As it stands to start off this tournament, they reseeded everybody after the opening rounds were done, and William Cary is the bottom seed. They are seed number 24, playing the number one seed, Northwestern College, and then Montana Western's the 16. As you talk about how William Cary has played better on the road than they have at home, how do you like having Northwestern College, who likely could have a lot of people show up in that gym, coming up in this match on Wednesday?
Oh, I welcome it. I feel like that's an advantage for us. We do play, for some reason, better away this year than at home, and we play better with, I don't want to say a hostile crowd, but we play better with a very loud crowd, a very engaged, that's the word I should use, a very engaged crowd. So when I saw that, which I knew, I mean, being Iowa born and raised, I kind of knew when we got paired with them, they're not going to be far from the playing site. So I kind of take that as an advantage, and I take it as an advantage that we're the underdog. Sometimes we play Not sometimes. More times than not, we play better as an underdog.
Hey, it's a good spot to be in when you're out there in Iowa. And so with that, some people out there may not have ever considered how pool play and volleyball works. We talked about it before we came back on, but just to let everybody know out there, obviously this is uncharted territory for William Cary, so we have to tell everybody how this works. Pool play, everybody plays everybody, but if they, in that round robin, you know, pool, each beat one another, so you have each team with one win and one loss. How does the tiebreaker come into play for who makes it to the round of eight?
So, yeah, if we're all tied, then it's going to go to sets. So, you know, we have to beat others in less sets than they beat us. And like I was saying earlier, that kind of happened to us at the in conference this year. You know, we were kind of tied with Blue Mountain in conference rankings, but we beat them in five, but they beat us in four, so they move ahead. So it'd be kind of the same thing in this pool play. So, you know, if we would go five with both teams, there's, you know, probably a likelihood, obviously, that you know, we're not going to step out in front. So, yes, you just want to first beat people head-to-head, but then it's going to go to sets. And then if sets are tied, then it's going to go to points. So, yeah, you would want to beat somebody 25 to 15 and not them beat you 25 to 15 because your point differential is going to be, you know, higher, which isn't going to put you in the spot to advance.
It's amazing. Isn't it lovely when math gets involved?
Yeah, and I'm not a math major, but I've learned to be one when I was coaching.
Hey, you just got to count to 25. And count to 3. I think we can manage that.
That's it.
Well, Coach, we wish you all the best of luck out there in Sioux City, Iowa. I know that Cary has been competitive this year. They have grown a lot as a program under you. Hey, I think you're one of the best contractors in Hattiesburg, getting this project underway, under budget, and before the due date.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I'm loving it, though. I'm loving it.
And not done yet, either.
Nope, we are so not done. I kept telling them, like, start unknown and finish unforgettable, and that's our mission right now.
I need that on a T-shirt. Yep. Print it.
Yep.
Yeah, that's good.
Well, thanks so much, Coach Shirley. Again, we wish you the best of luck, and we're going to wrap things up here.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Thank you for having me on.
All right, thanks, Coach.
All right, that is Coach Rhonda Shirley, head volleyball coach at William Cary. So excited for them in their postseason, as well as we are for men's and women's soccer. Both of them, oddly enough, playing the same team tomorrow. Going to be a fun day in William Cary athletics, Josh, as the Crusaders take on the women's Indiana Wesleyan team at 10 o'clock in the morning in Pensacola. Then over in Wichita, Kansas, it's a 1 o'clock meeting with IWU.
It's got to be chilly in Kansas tomorrow, right?
Ooh, I would imagine so. We can
Dalton State
consult
advanced,
the Google.
By the way, Dalton State men advanced today into the quarters. Saw that.
So there's that. So the big thing elsewhere in the news, and I kind of teed this up to start off the show, all season long, or at least all postseason, we've been talking about how William Cary could match up with Cumberland's in the women's final in Pensacola. Not this year. John Brown upsets the number one seeded University of the Cumberlands. And so if Cary does make it to the championship game, it will not be against the team that defeated them last year.
Well, and it also serves as a great wake-up call to William Cary.
Yeah, anybody's
like, hey,
beatable.
You're absolutely right. So if number one went down, nobody's safe.
Still have possibly Kaiser or UT Southern on this side of the bracket as well. So a whole lot still to figure out in that regard. But, man, happy to be talking about postseason. I'm not going to have a Crusader Talk live next week, as you'll have live action on the hardwood with Southeastern Baptist College. But if Cary is playing in the national championship and win, we're going to have a podcast on demand. But that'll do it for us. Until next time, for Josh and Dalton, good night, God bless, and go Saders.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.